Well, Paul, in Acts, or excuse me, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, states that in the last days, perilous times will come. Then he gives a description of what those times will be like. Listen to what he says. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I read those words. Every time I read those words, I just have to think, man, he must have just been watching the nightly news when he read that. Or reading the Akron Beacon Journal. Because if that's not a description of the times that we live in, I don't know what is. Then Paul, in that same chapter, after he says, listen, perilous times are coming, he goes on to explain or to expound how important it is to have the Word of God in times like these. He tells Timothy, listen, the Word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly furnished for every good work. He tells them, he emphasizes, you're going to go through tough times, hard, dangerous, perilous times, but in times like that, you need the Word of God. And I just have to say, if there's ever a day, I believe, where the believer, where people need God's Word, it's today. Amen. It's today. As D.L. Moody that said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Amen. Every Bible is, God gave us His Word to live it out in the world. It should be bound in shoe leather. And James would agree with that. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, open them up to the book of James. We're going to get back into James. James chapter 1. And you remember, as we start to look at this again, let me remind you, James was the half-brother of Jesus. And he wrote this letter. This is probably the earliest writing of the New Testament. It is a general epistle. It's called a general epistle because it's written to all Christians. It's written to Christians back in James' day. But guess, it's written to Christians here at Faith Bible Fellowship. It's written to us. And he writes this letter, very practical letter, called the Proverbs of the New Testament, called the Gospel in shoe leather. And it's a very practical letter. And he wrote to Christians who were experiencing trials, going through trials, tribulations. I'll tell you, the first century was perilous times. Amen? I mean, it wasn't much different, although I think the persecution was different. They suffered persecution for their faith. They were going through trials and temptations, hidden snares. And James, in this first chapter, tells them, emphasizes the importance of the Word of God in times like these. And he encourages them to relate properly to this book. How are we to handle this book as Christian? How are we to relate properly to this book? Well, that's what James tells them in verses 19 through 25, if you can look at those verses. And he gives them really three, three ways of relating to the Bible that I want to share with you this morning. And he wants us, God wants us to relate to the Bible in these ways in our day, in the 21st century. First thing he says is, first of all, we must hear God's word. We've got to hear God's word. Do you remember up in verse 19? Look at verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren. He said, you know what? You know this. You know this. Well, and if you don't know it, know it. That's what that word means. Know this, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. But quick to hear. Remember, we talked about that. It doesn't mean quick to hear everything. You shouldn't be quick to hear gossip. Shouldn't be quick to hear fake news, like on the news broadcast every night, night after night, night after night. Shouldn't be quick to hear garbage. What he's saying here, we need to be quick to hear the Word of God, quick to hear God's Word. And this is written to Christians, right? My beloved brethren. It's specifically written to us. But it's also written to everyone, because he says, let everyone be quick to hear. Christian, non-Christian, need to hear this book. Need to hear the book. Now, why? Two reasons. Number one, because we're saved by hearing the Word of God. We're saved. Look at verse 18. In exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. And I love that, because you know what? This book is the word of truth. I love getting up every morning and I open it and I say, God, thank you so much in this world that I've got some truth. I can read this. I know it's true because it's God's word. And he brought us forth by the word of truth. What is it? Romans 10:17. You know it. You quote it with me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. We were saved by the word. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God, we're saved by hearing the word. That's how we get saved. You see, we hear God speaks to us through the word, and you know what he shows us? He shows us a picture of ourselves. He shows us we're sinners. Then the word, he speaks to us and points to the one who died for our sins, Jesus. And shows us that Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And then he speaks to us, and God's word speaks to us. And we hear. Now, that's amazing. That's a miracle right there. You know why? Because apart from Christ, we're what? We're dead. And I'll tell you what, you can speak to a dead person all day long, and you know what? They don't hear. But you know what happens? This is the miracle. By God's grace, he gives dead people the ability to hear. And we hear the word of God, and it engenders faith in our heart. It engenders faith. And then through that faith, we believe and we receive Christ into our heart. And we're born again. And we're born again. We're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. God, the Holy Spirit, unites with the Word of God, and children are born into the family of God. That's how we're saved. It's through the Word of God. That's why everyone needs to hear the Word. Let me ask you something. Have you been born again? You say, well, Pastor, I'm sitting here in the church. That's wonderful. I've come to church all my life. Wonderful. Let me ask you, Listen, have you been born again? Have you received Christ? Is he in your heart? If you have received him, it's by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Now listen. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is speaking here today. If you have not received Christ, don't assume because you go to church that you've received Christ. If you've never been born again, listen, hear. Christ died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He's here right now. He wants to come into your heart and save you. He who has ears, hear. Now this has great implication too for Christians. When we witness, when we tell people about the Lord, we need to use the word of God. Amen. That's where the power is, along with the Spirit of God, but it's the word of God. I told several people, coming home from our vacation, I had two wonderful opportunities to witness on the planes coming back. Interesting. We had got our tickets to go up to Nova Scotia months ago. And yet, the airlines didn't seat Linda and I together. So we're coming back. In fact, they put her on standby. I went up and I said, we ordered these tickets 2 months ago. And if she's not going, I'm not going. You know? But you know what? It was God. I know it was God. In the second plane, there were empty seats. Linda sat in a row. She had two empty seats beside her. And they didn't seat us together. But they sat me beside two people. One young man named Stephen. And I'll tell you, we talked about the Lord from the moment I sat down before we got off the ground in Halifax until we were walking up the runway to Toronto Airport. We talked about Jesus. And he asked question after question after question after question. And I just, give him the word of God. Give him the word of God. Just, you know, give him John 3:16. Give him Romans 5:8. Give him Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You know, he said, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I do this and this and this, and I think that's going to get me to heaven. What do you think? Oh. Said, all them, that's good, Stephen. That's wonderful. But that's not gonna wash away your sins. Amen. It's not gonna do it. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not gonna get up there and say, I did all these good works, and that's why I'm here. It won't wash away your sin. And I gave him scripture. Then we get to the next plane. And from Toronto to Cleveland. And I sat down beside this man. He's coming back from Europe. And I could tell he's a foreigner. And we started to talk. And long story short, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, really? And I said, yeah. I said, do you have a religious faith? He said, I sure do. I'm Muslim. He was from Baghdad. And I've always wanted to ask some questions to Muslims. And what do you believe about Jesus? Oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Mary. We have a whole chapter in the Quran on Mary, and we believe in Jesus. I said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Oh, no. There was a substitute. He didn't die on the cross. I said, oh, his name is Hikmat. Hikmat. He did die on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. God sent his son to die for you. He said, does the Bible say he's his son? I said, oh, yeah, he did. It does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I had a chance to share with him the whole way. And then he got off the plane and said, I want to meet your wife. And Linda got off and, but you know what? They didn't accept Christ, at least with me right there. But I gave them the word. Yeah. When you share Christ, when you share the gospel, share your testimony. That's powerful. But share the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must hear because we're saved by hearing the word. But secondly, we must hear because we grow by hearing the word of God. That's how we grow. It says, be quick to hear. Hearing the word of God is part of the process by which we grow and mature as Christians. 1 Peter 2:2 says, and it encourages us, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The Bible's our food for growth. And James tells his readers, be quick to hear. You know, when he says that to them, you know, that he meant it literally. Because they didn't, back when this was written, can you imagine this? They didn't have Bibles. First century, they didn't have Bibles. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. They didn't even have Bible apps on their iPhones. Now, some of you bring your iPhone, and I know you're looking at Scripture as I preach. Bible apps on their iPhones. So when he said, be quick to hear, you know what he was saying? You get with God's people on the Lord's day. You get and put yourself under the hearing of the word of God. That's why Paul said to Timothy, you remember what he said to Timothy? He said, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Because that's how they got the word. They had to hear it. Now, what about us today? What does this mean when we say we need to hear the word? What is it talking about? I'll tell you what. We have one of the greatest privileges in the world. We got this book. This is, I'll tell you what, folks. Even there are people in the world today that don't have this book. We have God's word written down for us. What does that mean? You know what? We should read God's word every day. Yes. We should be, you know, and you know how we approach the word? God. And God speaks to us through the word. Primarily, he can speak through his spirit, praise God. But primarily, it's through his word. So when we open up, we say, Father, speak to me today. We pray like Samuel said. You know, speak, Lord, your servants listening. That's how to approach the God's word. Lord, we want to hear from you today. We want to hear God. Speak to me. And we open the word of God. We're like Job, aren't we? We should have the attitude of Job. He said, I desire your word, God, more than my necessary food. He had a motto, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no beacon. Can you imagine? Some people, even Christians, read the beacon more than the Bible. Because the beacon's really true. Right? No. We need to get in God's word. We need to listen. We need to read it. And then it also means we need to come to church, yes, to hear God's word. Actually, sometimes God even speaks in a sermon. Sometimes. Or listen, in another month, we're going to start Sunday school. Are you coming? I want to invite you to hear the word of God. We have some wonderful Bible teachers. We need to come to church, and we need to come. Let me ask you this. Be honest, and you don't have to raise your hand. I don't even want to know. But did you come to church today expecting God to speak to you? Okay, praise God for some that did. I think we ought to come. Lord, I'm going to go there. And you know what? The Lord can speak through a donkey. So he can maybe even speak through me. But he wants to speak to us. He's speaking. And it's important for us. And you know what devil tried to do? Devil will try to distract you. He'll try to get your mind right now to be thinking of what's going to be happening later on, what we're going to have for lunch, what we're going to be doing tomorrow at work, all kinds of distractions. I tell you what, he'll distract people, get up in the service and walk out. I'm up here. I see everything, you know. And where do all the eyes go? They're watching that person walk in or walk out. It's a distraction. That's how he tries to distract you. Hear. He that hath ears, let him hear. Let him hear the word of God. First of all, we've got to hear the word. Second of all, we must receive the word. We've got to receive the word. Verse 21, look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. We got to hear the word, but there's another step here. We got to receive it. And I think that step, when it says receive, it's got to move from here down to here. Amen. We got to receive it. And there's some conditions for receiving God's word. To receive the word rightly, number one, we must have a clean heart. A clean heart. That's why he says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. See, undealt with sin in our lives, in my life, will hinder me, will keep me from hearing and receiving God's word. So James says, put it aside, put it away, deal with it, deal with it. The word here, filthiness, see the word filthiness in verse 21? It's interesting. You know what it means? This is, the Greek word means wax in your ear. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to share something with you. It's kind of gross. I have a problem with wax buildup in my ears. I get wax in my ears. I mean, it builds up, and it's really interesting because I don't realize it until Linda's talking with me and I'm not hearing, and I say, oh, honey, I must have wax in my ears. No. I usually don't realize it until I can't hear. I mean, it gets that bad, that gross. It just builds up. Sometimes it's convenient. I had it, it happened in this right ear at the beginning of July. And on the 4th of July, around my house when all the fireworks were going off and I was trying to get sleep, I laid on this side. Couldn't hear a thing. Couldn't hear a thing. But I get wax in my ear. And you know what I have to do? I go over to Drug Mart and I get my wax, ear wax removal system. And what you have drops, and you got to put drops in your ear and walk around like this, so that, or lay down, so that it kind of makes the wax soft, and then you got this syringe and you put warm water in it and you got to squirt it in there and try to get the wax out. And I got to do that for several days. And finally, all this gunk. Oh, I mean, I can't believe I don't want to. The wax comes out and I can hear. Praise God. I mean, you know, it's bad when you can't hear physically. But I'll tell you, it's worse when you can't hear spiritually. And sin is like having wax in your ear. I've had Christians come to me and, I mean, they were sincere and they'd say, Pastor, why can't I hear the voice of God? God used to speak to me, but I can't hear him anymore. And many times, it's because they have sin that they have not dealt with. But I have to tell them then, you know what? God has an ear wax removal system. It's found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we deal with that sin in our life, right? Or remember Proverbs 28:13? You remember what it says there? He who conceals his sin will not prosper. But he who confesses it and forsakes it, he will find mercy. Yes. See, it's not enough to just say, I'm sorry, Lord. We're to confess it, agree with God about it. Then we're to turn from it. What is that called? Repentance. We're to repent. That's God's ear wax removal system. That's the way he gets the gunk sin out of our ears so that we can hear the word of God. So I want to ask you, if God the Holy Spirit would point to something in your life that's hindering you from hearing the word of God, a sin, are you willing to deal with it today? Are you willing to say, God, I want to hear your voice. And you know what? I need to confess this to you. And with your help, I need to turn from this. Because I tell you, to receive the word of God, you got to have a clean heart. And you got to have ears that are without the wax of sin. So you have to have a clean heart. Then to receive the word of God, you have to have a humble heart. Do you see it there? A humble heart. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility. King James says, in meekness. Same word. It means humility. And for us to receive God's word, we have to have a humble spirit. That makes sense, doesn't it? A teachable heart. If we come to God's word and we think we know everything, we're not going to hear. You know, I used to kind of, I thought I knew a lot when I first graduated from seminary. I used to have all the answers. Now I have more questions than answers. And I'll tell you what, just scratching the surface. A humble heart. Lord, teach me. You know, Lord, I need this word, teach me. We need to put ourselves under the authority of God's word. We don't go to God's word and read into it what we want it to say. That's eisegesis. That's what they call reading into it what we want it to say. We go to the text and exegete it. We get out of it. We ask God to speak to us the truth of his word. Teach me, Lord. I need to be taught. I need your word, Lord. We go through it humbly. We humbly approach the word of God. Would you show me the truth of your word? Would you help me to apply it to my life? Do you know what? And let me say this, and I want to encourage you. You don't need to know Greek or Hebrew to read God's word. You don't have to go to seminary to read and understand God's word. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the author behind the authors in your heart. And if you go, and you go with a clean heart, and you go with a humble heart and say, God, teach me. I'll tell you what, God will speak to you. That's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? That's good. That's good. We must receive it with a clean heart and a humble heart. And we've got to receive it with an open heart. Number 3, an open heart. It says, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word receive means to literally to welcome it. It's welcome it like you'd welcome an old friend you haven't seen in a while. Oh, I welcome you. I welcome you. Open heart to receive it, even when it tells you something you don't like to hear. Even when it points out sin in my life. Even when it tells me to do something that I don't want to do. To get out of your comfort zone and go over and tell that person about Jesus. Oh, welcome it. Welcome God's word. Receive it with an open heart. Receive it down into your heart. Don't argue with the word of God. Do you ever argue with the word of God? Do you ever make excuses why you cannot do it or will not do it? We have a slide. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I love this. I love it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 talks about receiving the word. Listen how the Thessalonians received the word of God. It says, for this reason, we constantly, Paul writes, thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. You Thessalonians, when you received our message, you didn't receive it as a message from men. You received it for what it really is, the word of God. They welcomed the word. They welcomed the word. That's what we need to do. We need to receive it. We need to welcome the word. Receive the word implanted or engrafted, I think the King James says. And that shows the word of God is like a seed. When we welcome it like that, the seed of the word of God gets in our heart. And what does it do? Produces fruit. It produces a crop, a 30, 60, 100 fold. You remember the parable of the soils? You remember the good soil that received the word and it went down in and it came up and it bore fruit. And that's what God wants his word to do. But we've got to receive it with an open heart. And it's able to save our souls. That's not just talking about initial salvation. Because there's three aspects of salvation, right? Past, present, and future. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the pollution of sin. And one day, praise God, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Justification, sanctification, glorification. It's through the word of God. It's able to save our souls. Amen? Amen. Amen. Receive the word. Receive the word. So we're to hear the word of God. We're to receive the word of God. But here's the kicker. Here's what James is emphasizing. Number three, we are to do the word. Verses 22 through 25. And he gives the command there. But prove yourselves doers of the word. That was what Moody was talking about when he said every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. We've got to do it. It's not enough to hear it. Not enough to receive it. As followers of Christ, we've got to Nike it. Right? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. That's what he says here. But prove yourselves doers of the word. Then look at the last part of verse 22, because there's a warning. Do it. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. King James, deceiving your own self. Don't deceive yourself. The worst lies are the lies we tell ourselves. We can deceive ourselves, he says here. bad to deceive others, but it's bad and dangerous to deceive yourself. And you know what the deception is? We hear the word of God, we hear a sermon, and we leave and we think we're spiritual. We can listen to thousands of sermons. Come to church every week, turn on WCRF, listen to, you know, Dr. Jeremiah and Alistair Begg and Swindoll and Stanley and all these, hear all these sermons. I'm spiritual. Don't deceive yourself. It's not listening to sermons that make us spiritual. It's not just hearing God's word that make us spiritual. We got to take it another step, don't we? We got to what? Tell me.
Do it.
Nike it. Now he goes on here and he gives an illustration. And I love this illustration, verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I think I'm right on this. There may be one or two that are not under this, but I think everyone here this morning looked in a mirror. Anybody that didn't look in a mirror? Everyone looked in a mirror. And what you saw was frightening. I mean, let's be honest. What you saw was not real pretty. I'm going to show you what some of you saw. Some of you ladies saw something like this. Let me see if we can get a picture up here. We get a picture up here. Some of you ladies saw something that looked like that. In fact, I have a picture of somebody in our church, and I want to show you one of the ladies with curly hair, what she looked like. Can I have the next picture, please? This is one of the sheep of Faith Bible Fellowship, and what she looked like this morning when she looked into a mirror. I mean, it was kind of frightening. And with us guys, it really wasn't any better. Here's what we guys saw when we looked in the mirror this morning. Can I have the next one? That's Pastor Les on a good day. That's me on a good day. Why do we do it? Why do we look into a mirror? Tell me. To what?
See yourself.
To see yourself, to what? Do we walk out like that? No, we have to make adjustments, right? You know, we got to make all the adjustments, and most of you made adjustments. Make adjustments, and we do something after we look in the mirror.
Make it better.
Try to make it better, right? You know, I want to say something. I don't like looking in the mirror. I really don't. I hate being in front of a mirror. I tell Linda, and you can ask her, this is the truth. I could never be a woman. I hate standing in front of the mirror. And you know, with women, they're in front of the mirror a lot. I mean, they wash their hair, they blow dry their hair, they curl their hair, they put on makeup, they put on lipstick, they put on eyeshadow, they put on eyeliner, they put on, what's the stuff they put on the lashes?
Mascara.
They wash it, they comb it, then they comb it again, and then they look, and they go, it would drive me nuts. I mean, I don't have the patience. Guys, are you like me? I mean, I get in front of the mirror, and I'll tell you, I do the 7-minute plan. I mean, seven is the biblical number. 7 minutes is max. I get in there, first minute, I take all my vitamins. I take 4 different types of vitamins. I take my vitamins. Next 2 minutes is shave. I get and I shave. 2 minutes, that's it. Next, I brush my teeth. And I put on my deodorant. That gives me 2 minutes to comb my hair. So, water. Some of you don't have that problem. You don't have hair. But water on my hair, a little bit of gel, put the gel on, comb it. Up, 7 minutes. You know what? I look at myself, and you know what I say? It's the truth. Good enough. Good enough. Not perfect. Far from perfect. Good enough. And I'm done. I don't like being in front of a mirror. But you know what? We shouldn't do that with the Word of God. We shouldn't look in. This is a mirror. We shouldn't look in the Word of God and get to and just say, yeah, good enough.
Yes, amen, brother.
Mm-mm. We're to look at the Word of God, and we got to make adjustments. We gotta say, you know what? I need to do this, and I gotta make this right in my life. I gotta do this. It's not right to just say, you know what? Hey, no one's perfect. Good enough. No, I can't do that with the Word of God. We have got to respond to the Word. And you know what else we do sometimes? We forget. You see what it says there? It says. That sometimes, verse 24, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Yep. Sometimes we look and we forget. We look and it says, be kind to one another. And then we walk away and we're snippy. And we're not kind. We look in there in Philippians, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Yeah. We walk away, we get to work, and what do? Start grumbling. We look in the Word, and it says, you know, bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against anyone, just as God forgave you, so also should you. Oh. And then we go and we hold a grudge. We forget. We can't do that. It says, don't do that. Get into the Word. Look into the Word. Make the adjustments. Don't forget. Live it out. Do it. Application. Verse 25a. But one who looks intently into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. See? We don't want to be a forgetful hearer. You know the thing that is kind of discouraging. People can sit in a church service, and by the time they reach the parking lot, they forgot what they heard. This is the truth. You can ask somebody, "What did the preacher say?" It was something about. I'm not sure. It was good, though. A forgetful hearer. We're to be an effectual doer. We got to Nike it. We got to live it out. Now, okay, just heard this sermon about doing something. So I'm going to give you an assignment. Put this down. Here's your assignment. And I'll tell you what, Lord help me to remember. I'm going to ask if you did it next week. Here's your assignment. Every day, I want you to read in God's Word. Every day, starting Monday through next Saturday. I'll just give you those days. I want you to read God's Word. And read it until it speaks to you. I'm not going to say read one chapter or half a chapter or three chapters. Read it until it speaks to you. Secondly, once God speaks to you, you hear Him, pray it back to God. Pray it back to God. God, you told me this, and I want you to work this in my life. I want you to help me to do what I heard you say to do. I want to pray this back to you. And then, number three, share it with somebody that day. Tell somebody that day what God spoke to you. Share it with somebody. It can be your spouse or kids. It can be your parents. Or it can be a friend. Call somebody from church and say, did you do pastor's assignment? I did. Here's what God said to me. You better get your assignment done. Share it with somebody. And do the word of God. You know why I want you to do that and why I want to do that? Because the outcome. Look at the outcome. Verse 25b. That man will be what? Blessed. That woman will be blessed in what he does. Blessed is he who reads and who hears the words of the Bible and heeds the things which are written therein. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Amen. And you know what? I want you to be blessed this week. I want to be blessed this week. So do your assignment. Because every Bible should be bound in what?
Shoe leather.
Lord, we bow before you today. And Lord, what a privilege we have living in the 21st century to have the Word of God. And have it written down. Have the Bible. We have Bibles. We have Bible apps. We have all kinds of helps. Lord, help us to hear it this week. Help us to receive it with a clean, humble, open heart. And then, Lord, help us to Nike it. Lord, help us to do it. Because, Lord, you've promised to bless those who do your word. And Lord, bless us that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.